All our life, He's been faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. And I know, I just got a message that Benny's been sick really bad this week. So let's remember Benny in our prayers. Just got it. So let's go ahead. Lord, touch Benny right now. I don't know what it is with him, Lord, but you know this. You can take care of him. Heal his body in the name of Jesus. And Dixie's very sick today too. Lord, touch Dixie, Lord, and Pete in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Again, let me ask you a question. I forgot the clicker. There you go. Those songs had me. There were some good songs. Weren't they good songs today? Oh, yes, Lord. Okay, here we go. Now we're cooking with grease. Here we go. Come on. I mean, we're going backwards or forwards. I can't tell. Okay, here we go. There we are. Get your Bible out. Turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to finish where we start what we started last week. And then the next 2 weeks, we're going to be working toward Easter because Easter is coming up. We don't even have any Easter lilies, and I'm just thinking about the Easter lilies, and my nose start running. All right. Stand for the reading of the word, Luke 22. Verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." Y'all say Peter by the fire. Now say Peter under fire. And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I'm not." And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And let me just stop there for a second. Has anybody ever been there? You ever heard the cock crow in your own life? It's a weird feeling, isn't it? It's a bad feeling. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We know, God, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing impossible for you. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless us, Lord. And if there's anybody here this day that is having a problem with themselves, let me say that again, Lord, in this prayer. If there's anybody here today that's having a problem with themselves, help this day awaken them, give them hope. I know they may have fallen, but they can get up. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. Look at somebody and say, "If you're not hereafter what I'm hereafter, you'll be hereafter I'm gone." I dare you to say it all. If you're not hereafter what I'm hereafter, you'll be hereafter I'm gone. Say it. All right. Isn't God so wonderful this morning? And the praise and worship and the spirit in this place was amazing. The doctor told one of his patients one time, said, it might have been one of y'all, I'm not sure, "I haven't seen, I see you're over a month late for your appointment. Don't you know that nervous disorders require prompt and regular attention? What's your excuse?" The patient said, "I was just following orders, doc." "Your orders?" The doc said, "Follow my orders? What are you talking about? I never gave you such an order." He said, "Yeah, you did. You told me to avoid people who irritate me." Okay, if you go to a doctor a lot and they're telling you things you don't want to hear, then yes, you understand it. If you don't go, you don't understand it. Amen. All right, so here we go. Help, I've fallen, and I can't get up. Now, I put in some, not all of them, just put in a few slides from last week, because if you weren't here last week, you need to have some continuity so you can understand this. How many's ever heard the story of Peter by the fire and Peter under fire and how Peter blew it? Amen? Blew it. How many here's ever heard that story at least one time? Amen. How many in here can understand and can feel that in their own life when you start seeing what Peter did and what Peter went through? He was so confident that God had him and he had God, and when the time came, he blew it. So now, here's some slides from last week, then we're jumping right in. So I'm going to go through these kind of quickly, okay? From last week, they will be quickly, and then I'll jump right into this week's, and I'll back her down a notch or two. Have you ever fallen down spiritually while running the race? Have you ever been tripped up by the devil? Peter did just that. Can you imagine walking side by side with Jesus Christ? Watching him do miracles, watching him raise the dead, knowing that he is the Son of God. You were the one that told him, and he asked, you the one. And then you deny God. Wow. So this night will go down in Peter's memory as the worst night in his life, but in spite of it all, God gave him a new start, and we're going to learn how to benefit from our failure. Everybody in here has failed. Matter of fact, if Benny was here, Benny would be saying, you mean today? Amen? So, and again, just for clarity, here is failure in the Bible. Biblically, the Old Testament means to relinquish, to abandon, to let go, to cross the boundary between right and wrong. In the New Testament, it means to drop away, to drive off course, to fall short, to be deficient, insufficient, to fall powerless. This night, Peter did all these. Every last one of these, and I'm pretty sure that I'm talking to people that may have done one, two, three, all of these. I know I have. Amen? So let's remember this about failure. And again, I can't wait to get to the new stuff. Remember last week, we had more slides in all this, and we camped out at this stuff. Facts about failure. Remember that everybody falls. It's universal. Remember that failure's not final. It's just one piece of life's puzzle. Recognize the benefits of failure. With each failure comes a lesson. It teaches us, it educates us, it makes us less judgmental toward others, and it actually helps us when we interact with others, because now we don't think that we're some big shot and they're some little shot and that we've never done anything and they've done all wrong. And so it's a good thing for this. Remember, failure in itself, failure comes with a choice. It can be a hitching post, which means to fall down and stay down, or a guiding post. You fall down, but you get back up. The difference is learning from our failure and losing from our failure. We're getting ready to shift gears, getting ready to slow down. Y'all ready to get ready to slow down? Somebody said, let down the plow, Pastor. We get ready to let her down. All right, ready? Remember, failure has more to do with your attitude than the circumstances itself. Let them sink in a little bit. Failure has a whole lot more to do with your attitude than the circumstances that you're in. Always remember that. Failure comes often at the point of our greatest strength. Here was Peter. He was strong. He was courageous. He was bold. And he was leading the others. But if you're not careful, if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in overconfidence. I was just talking with somebody the other day, and I told him, I said, look, you in overconfidence right now, and that's the problem. You need to get some God confidence, okay? 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, let him that think he stand take heed, lest he fall. Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goes before destruction, but fully depending on the Lord produces God confidence. The Bible says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Here we go. Y'all ready? I'm going to let down the plow. I think I'm even going to sit down for this one. Get ready. If you're taking notes, please, please write this down. Don't forget to remember that the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. There is a reason he is still gainfully employed. We believe his lies. And he lies to all of us every day. Do not believe the accuser. Get ready. This right here is worth the price of admission. Ready? Failure comes with a message from Satan. Before we sin, the devil is our tempter. You got to have this. You got to do this. You just can't wait. Yes, you can do this. Yes, 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 yes. He's your tempter. But have you ever noticed how he tempts you to do something? Then after he tempts you, the devil becomes our accuser. Before we do it, you just got to have this. And after we do it, he goes, I can't believe you fell for that. I cannot believe you did that. Man, God is so aggravated with you. God don't even love you anymore. So he's, before sin, he tempts us. After sin, he becomes our accuser. If you can get this thought in your head, you're going to be so much farther ahead than you were before you came in here. When you understand that little formula right there. Did you know there's that's just part of the names of Satan in the Bible. You can look up anywhere Satan's names, but Satan has a whole lot. And I did do a sermon series on the names of Satan. I'm not going to do that now. But there are 16 plus different names for Satan in the Bible. But number one is the devil. The devil is Diablos. Greater than 40 times. The two words used for that is dio, which means through or to penetrate, and balo, which means to throw. Diablos. Means that he throws at you and he throws at you and he throws at you until he penetrates your mind. He penetrates your spirit. He penetrates the Word of God in your life, because sometimes the Word of God in our life isn't as strong as it should be. And so he can penetrate a wall if the wall's put up with fear. Wow. I'm not talking about the fear of God as holy, but the fear that something's always going to happen to you. If you walk around always, something's going to happen, I'm not good enough. He's throwing at you and he's penetrating, and he can win. Satan, the accuser, Shantana, means to hate or to accuse. 50 times this is used. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it is said that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. If you find yourself hearing this in your head, if you were a child of God, really a child of God, you wouldn't do this. That's a lie from Satan. If you really stood strong in God, you wouldn't be feeling this way. When you hear "if" and then an accusation afterwards, know that it's not God talking to you. Satan condemns not God. So, here it is. 50 times, accuser of the brethren. Satan's goal is to see you fall down and stay down. You can tell it. Somebody is doing a good job. They're living life. They're doing strong. And all of a sudden, they start listening to the wrong voices. And then they stop what they're doing and they sit on the side of the road and they get depressed and they fall down and they fail to keep going forward. Failure is not an option. You're going to fail. Every one of us is going to fail. But you got to learn how, you got to learn how to fail forward, not backwards. If you fail forward, there's a lesson to learn. Okay? And when God's teaching us a lesson, that failure was a good thing, not a bad thing. Wow. And Jesus turned and looked. That's got to be the hardest point in Peter's life. After he denied Christ the three times and turned and saw Jesus looking at him. Wow. I can't even imagine it. You see, there's three comforting truths here. When we fall, God is still sovereign. Let me get my Bible out. When we fall, and Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." Immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked unto Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. He said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." God already knew about this. God already had it. God knew what was happening. God knew what was going to happen. You know, there's a lot of times in our own life that we tell God what we're not going to do. We're not going to mess up, God. We're not going to mess up. How many times on Sunday while you're praying, you go, "I got it now, God. I got it. I won't do it again." And when you come in here on Sunday, you're dragging. And you go, "God, I'm sorry. I did it again." You already knew. You see, sovereign means that he's in control. So when that rooster crowed, it brought two messages. The first message it brought was Peter was out of control. Just been with Jesus, just had the first communion with Jesus, had foot washing with Jesus, told Jesus he would not forsake him. And look what he did. Have you ever felt out of control? Spiritually? You thought you had it together, and everything's falling apart. So the first message from that rooster crow was, Peter is out of control. But the second message was, is God is still in control. Jesus already told him before he ever did this that this was coming. Let's look at some more comforting truths in all of this. When we fall, God is still sovereign. 1 Timothy 2 and 13, if we deny him, he still abides faithful. Romans 8:28 says, all things, y'all say all things. That's good, bad, and ugly. That's all things. The good things in your life, the bad things in your life. The good things that happen to you, even the worst of things that happen to you. The Bible says, all those things work together for good. The word "work together" literally means it's like a recipe. It all works together for good. And that includes our failures. God can use them. And I thank God that he uses our failure. So now, let's take it a little further. He knows my name. He knows every thought. He sees each tear that falls and he hears me when I call. Here it goes. When we fail, he's sympathetic and he's still watching. Listen carefully. There's so many people that beat themselves up over this. You got to understand this. You don't have to be perfect to come to church. You ain't got to be without sin to come to church. You see, God meets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. God's not changing us so that he can love us. He loves us enough that he changes us. Wow. That's powerful, powerful stuff. Let me tell you something else. How many in here would say, how many's ever disappointed yourself? I am. You disappointed yourself. How many's ever disappointed other people? How many's ever disappointed God? You can't disappoint him. You know why? Get this in your spirit. If I disappoint myself, it's because I do something that I said I weren't going to do. Or I set a goal and I didn't meet that goal. Or I said I was going to do something and I didn't do it. Other people can disappoint me and I can disappoint them because we have acted in an unexpected way of what somebody was expecting. If God's all sovereign and all knowing, guess what? You can't disappoint him. Why? Because he already knows. You know, we have that old saying, I wish I was a fly on the wall. Can you imagine being a fly on the wall in the throne room? Doug's down there praying and said, God, I promise you, I'll never do this again. He goes, Brandon says, Lord, I blew it, but I promise you, I won't. He goes, yeah. David, God, if you show me how, and he goes, I showed you already 25 times. But you know what? God doesn't do that. Grace reaches down and lifts you up, no matter how many times. You know why? Because God does not love us because we're valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. Wow. I'm going to stop it right there. Let's see here. Well, that was a good slide, but I reckon I was too sleepy. All right. Psalm 103, for God knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. Wow. God is so awesome. Here we go. I couldn't wait to get to this part. This is my favorite part. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Isaiah 41. Get ready. The third one. When we fail, we are secure in his promises. Yes, we fall. But just because we fall doesn't mean God falls out and has nothing to do with us. Because he tells us, he says, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. For those that have been going to the Tuesday night class on how to interpret the Bible, when he says, Simon, Simon, what does that mean? That means that he had to get his attention. He was so busy talking about what he was going to do that God had to slow him down to tell him, no, this is what you're going to do. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Here was some pride, and we know it was pride. There it is. You see, he thought it had it all together. Has anybody ever thought you had it all together? Matter of fact, I can tell you, you might think you have it all together, but you know somebody thinks got it all together. And guess what? They don't. Now, nobody in here has got it all together. We got to have help. We got to have the cross. So, there's the pride. And so, here goes the cure. He said, Simon, Satan has desired you. That word desired means he asked permission. Let me tell you something. Before Satan can do anything to you, he has to have permission from God because you're his child. And because you're his child, God's got a barrier around you. So he said, watch this. He said he has desired you, or he has asked for you, and he wants to sift you as wheat. Let me explain something. Sift you as wheat. There's two processes in the Middle East for sifting wheat. The first process is to throw the harvested wheat up in the air and the wind blows away the chaff in the dirt and what lands back down. Then you can put it in a screen. And once you put it in a screen, you shake it until it's nothing but grain. Now to start with, Satan asked. You see, it's the buyer's responsibility to do the sifting. And so the devil weren't just asking for Peter to put him through trial. He thought when he put him through trial, he could own him. Some of y'all in here right now, you're going through some of the biggest trials of your life. And you got to understand something. Satan don't just want to knock you down. He wants to own you. That's powerful. So here it goes. Here's the process. Both of those methods, throwing it up in the air, exposing it to wind. Sometimes when you're under trial, you feel exposed. You get wind blown. Then you go in that screen and you get shaken and shaken and shaken. And what happens is you feel like you have been broke apart or broke down. Here it is, three phases, the process. Just showed you the process. Right down beside process, violence. Violence. When you're under trial, Satan is not concerned about whether you hurt your feelings or not. When you're under trial, there's violence. Jesus said that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's violence. It hurts to be sifted. It hurts to be in trials. Because Satan doesn't care. He's going to do whatever it takes to own you. Violence, the process. And in this process, write down problems. There's the process, and there's problems. Because Satan, as he shakes you, exposes the weaknesses and the problems in your life. Peter thought that he was a big bad dude, and everybody looked up to him because he was the leader. But that violence was, the violence was given to him by a little girl. Not the Roman army. Not some guy with a spear to his throat. The violence came from a little bitty girl. Wow. But it exposed the problem. And the problem was he was too dependent on self. And so because he was dependent upon self, once he started going through the sifting process, going up in the air, and then put it into the screen and shaking, it exposed his self-confidence versus God-confidence. Process, then problems, but it gives you purity. Wow. You see, Satan wants to stop at the problems, so you quit, so you give up. But God wants you to keep on going until you hit that purity, because you become a stronger person after you've been through this. You see, Satan wanted to sift Peter to condemn him. But Jesus allowed it to cleanse him. Sometimes we've been through some of the hardest trials. Monday, Bethany's birthday. And just today, while we were practicing, I was thinking about her and her raising her hands and being silly and doing the stuff she did. And, you know, and I think about that year in the cancer center and how sick she was. How we went somewhere, I had to hold her up because she just got so weak and smelled like death. But she'd still say, God's got this. God's got this. Don't worry that either way I win. I have to say that was probably the greatest sifting in my life up to that point. Because I was watching Bethany. We, our family, was being thrown up in the air and exposed to the wind. And we felt the shaking. We saw the process, and it was violent. Cancer is violent. They exposed the problems, but it brought a purity in the end. And God is so powerful with that. So now, finally, we are secure in His promises. Here it goes. Come on up here. There we go. We're secure in His promises. See, we had the pride, and we had the passion, then we had the prayer. Let me tell you something about that word prayer. If you look at that word prayer in another gospel, in the Greek, here's what that word prayer means. It doesn't mean, He said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that after you fall, you're coming back, and you're going to strengthen your brethren. Watch. Here's what that word literally in the Greek means. It doesn't mean He takes the trial away. It means He eclipses Satan's attacks. So you're feeling it full throttle and you feel like it's about to knock you down. Then you get a little time where you're feeling a little better and things are going good. And then it gets hot again. What's going on? Jesus is eclipsing the trials. He's giving you a chance to hang on to Him and to know that He's got you. And that He's going to take care of you. So, your salvation doesn't depend upon you. We just read it. You see, again, Satan concentrates on the shaft. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to concentrate on the shaft, the stuff that gets thrown away and gets beat up in this sifting process. He wants you to concentrate on all that junk. But Jesus concentrates on the wheat to cleanse you. Satan concentrates on the shaft and tells you how sorry you are and tells you how weak you are and tells you you can't do it. And Jesus says, man, you're looking better all the time. Keep it up. God's got you. I got. That's what He says. He tells me all the time, I got you, buddy. I got you. Psalm 139:16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Whoa! Whoa! That's how powerful God is. Satan can't say that. I saw you before you were born. every day of your life was recorded in the book. Every moment was laid out. Every moment. Y'all say moment. Every moment was laid out before one single day had passed in your life. Three things Jesus knew about Peter. Number one, failure. He had failure in his life. How many here doesn't have failure in life? Raise your hand. You don't have failure in life, raise your hand. Guess what? If you raised your hand right then, that was your first failure. You like to lie. Excuse me, tell fibs. Failure. He knew about his failure, but he knew he had faith. And he knew that that was going to take care of him. After it was eclipsed, after he went through that eclipse, that he was going to be okay. He can pull you from failure and push you forward to your future. And he knew. He knew that he had a future. Turn with me. Y'all get your Bibles out. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I'm going to read it in several versions here. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Everybody got it? Say amen. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He's thinking about you right now. Isn't that something? Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Now, he's talking to people that are, we talked about this, about how you got to know which part of the Bible that it comes from. Was it pre-exile, pre-exilian, post-exilian, or exilian prophets? He's an exilian prophet, for I know the thoughts that I think to you, towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. They were still going through pure hell, but he said, this ain't the end. There's better days coming. Now, really, here it is, the New Living Translation. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And my favorite is the Message Bible. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Wow. God was not through with him yet. DC, come on up here. There's three things that Jesus knows about you. Ready? I'm 100% positive that Jesus knows these things about you. I don't even have to wonder. I don't even have to ask. He knows these about you. Number one, he knows your failures. He knows your failures. He knows your faith. And he knows your future. God's not through with you yet. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. The Amplified Version, therefore, now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. God's got you. 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 Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is so awesome. God is so powerful. And He's more than enough. He knows our faults, our failings, our shortcomings. He knows how many times that we have fallen. But let me tell you something. God don't count how many times you fall. God counts how many times you get back up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I want to ask, is there anybody here right now, but nobody's looking around, that would say, Pastor, Diablos has been piercing me with fiery darts. He's been piercing me, telling me I can't, I can't. He's been piercing me and condemning me. He's been my tempter and my accuser, and I really, really need to let go of it because God already has. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you, raise that hand and say, I need it. I need it. I need it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Today's your day. There's not a failure in your life that's final. Because God always wins. He always wins. Maybe you're here today and you've hit rock bottom. Like Peter, who ran out and wept bitterly. You ran out of God's presence, just like him. And the hurt is so great, you don't think you can ever get back in his presence. Just know this, that he'll come to you. If I'm talking to you today when nobody's looking around, are you ready? Are you ready to get back in his presence? Raise that hand. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We know, God, that we are prone to fail. We also know that you never fail. And we ask you right now for us. Strengthen us. Improve our focus so that we look at you who never fails when we do. And we thank you for it. And God, we thank you, Lord, that we may be down, but we don't have to stay down. In the name of Jesus, use us in a very powerful and special way. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Everybody be praying for me. I have to go through a heart catheterization the 23rd.
Okay. Okay. Remind me because I want to be there. Everybody stretch forth your hands this way. Our sister is going to go through a heart cath, and she wants y'all, everybody, to be praying for her because she knows that y'all are praying people and that y'all can help her through this, along with God, number one. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Frankie. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, that you are more than enough. Touch my sister when she goes to this heart cath. Guide and direct the doctor, and whatever it is, Lord, let them see it, let them fix it. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, 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 amen. Y'all ready? Isn't God good? All right. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brandon to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is.